You know, sometimes there's such a ministry in the music. It lifts us higher as we think about the lyrics and how they apply to our own lives. And as Brother Mark shares the history of what went into penning and writing these hymns, it makes us realize how blessed we are. And that regardless of our circumstances, we need to find ourselves standing on that solid rock that we can do by the faith that God has given us. I want to talk again today about faith. About faith in your life and in all of our lives. And how we respond to the commandments that God gave, that Jesus gives us. I started what I said could turn into a series last Sunday about the I Am statements of God. And that came from the authority that Jesus instructed his disciples by. And the same authority he still has, and that same instruction applies to me and you. In Matthew, he told us that all authority has been given to him on heaven and earth, and go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And we focused on what are we teaching to other people about Jesus. And I wanted to focus on the seven I Am statements that Jesus made. And there are more, but those are the major ones, the seven I Am statements. And we found in Colossians how Paul went out and took this and did exactly what Jesus did. He went and preached all over the modern world at that time. And to the church of Colossae, he wrote a letter, and in that, he talked about the preeminence of Jesus Christ in all things. And I'm not going to go back to Colossians again today, but we have read from it now twice. But this morning, I want to focus our attention on the second major I Am statement that Jesus made. Last week, we looked at I Am the Bread of Life. And this week, I want to look at I Am the Light of the World. And so for the rest of this morning, we will be in the Gospel of John. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John to chapter 8. We're going to read, and then we're going to stop and discuss some things and maybe back up. And look at this statement that Jesus is making. I am the light of the world. And so you notice there again, he is saying, I am. And we need to recognize the authority that Jesus has to say that, because Jesus later said, I and my Father are one. And here he is staying in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 12 through 24. But again, I'm going to read a couple of verses and I want to stop. And let's look at what the context here is. Jesus spoke to them again, saying in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. So I want to stop. Okay, good. It's on PowerPoint, I'm confirming. I have in brackets there. This is a continuation. You see, it's a continuation of several things. We find a continuing occurrence where the Pharisees are constantly obstructing and confronting Jesus, doing everything they can to deride him, almost to the point to where if you had somebody that believed totally different from us and was sitting in the congregation on a continuous basis, they came up and found fault. That's what Jesus is having to contend with. But folks, this is also a continuation of what happened earlier in this chapter. See, Jesus is in the temple and he's teaching. So I want to go back and look at that for just a moment in the context of the statement that Jesus has made. I am the light of the world. So now let's back up in chapter 8 to verse 1. And let's start reading. And I want to make some observations. And yes, I have preached on this before. But there's a lot in this. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded as that such should be stoned. Well, what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So now let's stop for just a moment. Now this is not the focus of our text. But again, when I did preach this message, this is very, very coincidental. The Pharisees did not, I don't think, care as much about as to supposedly what they uncovered in this woman's indiscretion. And again, I asked the question when I preached on this, where was the man? He was equally guilty. But this person is singled out. And they are using this as a way to entrap Jesus. Constantly, the Pharisees, who were supposed to be the leaders of the Jewish society, were confronting Jesus, were trying to find fault with him, trying to entrap him, trying to diminish him in the eyes of the people. They felt threatened. And if you notice up at the beginning, it says Jesus went to the temple and all the people, there were multitudes of people that wanted to hear, and I want you to remember that. All the people wanted to hear Jesus preach. And he sat and he taught them. And he's given us a commandment too, to go and teach. And that's important. So now continuing on in verse 7. So when they continued asking him, what say you, should this woman be stoned, is basically, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It's one of the most humbling and encouraging and beautiful statements that we find as recorded as Jesus' words to me. We see God's grace and mercy in what he said. And so much more. So much more. Now I want to say just a moment about this comment that he made. And what could have been the scenario when he made this statement. But I want us to also recognize too that when Jesus, so many of the statements that we are recorded in the Bible of what Jesus said, he is making a statement, an explanation, but there's also a command. And he gave this woman a command. Go and sin no more. It's important that we recognize that. Go and sin no more. Now, when he was writing in the sand, there's a lot of conjecture about this. Nobody knows what was, it's not recorded what he was writing in the sand. But to me, this is a fit, especially with this statement, I am the light of the world. We don't know it. But I think there's a strong possibility that Jesus was just slowly writing the Ten Commandments in the sand when he was writing on the ground. You know, the law was written in stone and it was given to Moses. Now here we have the Word of God. So it would be fitting for him to be writing the Ten Commandments when the Pharisees are wanting to use the Ten Commandments to judge someone by. There's something about the Ten Commandments. If Jesus was writing them in the sand, I believe he did it for a reason. Because the law, the Ten Commandments, folks, it exposes our sins and our inabilities. And you know what? It makes us come face to face with them. That's what the Ten Commandments does. It makes us recognize our sinful natures. And the Pharisees would have had to face their sins too. And he said, "Let you who are without sin cast the first stone." They knew that they were sinful people too. Because that's what the Ten Commandments does. It makes us recognize that we are not perfect. And so they all started to walk away. Whatever the other sins may have been there in that crowd of people, including the Pharisees, there's one thing without question that they were guilty of. That was unfairly and unjustly trying to entrap Jesus. But you know, the light of the world, the light of God's Word, exposes things. And exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and it exposed their sins, and they all left. But there's something else of that statement when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." You see, light exposes things. And it exposed to me God's grace and His mercy. You see, they all left except for the woman. The woman who was guilty. And when she was first put into that position, a woman who had no hope, she thought she was about to be stoned. But you see, God's Word, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, exposes things. God's Word, the light of the world, exposes and reveals the mercy of God, and it brings hope to the hopeless. Have you ever thought about it from that perspective? When you start examining God's Word and you start learning what Jesus Christ and His ministry here on this earth, it shows God's mercy, His goodness and His grace. You see, light exposes things. And I'm making a connection now because He called His followers the light of the world. We're supposed to be exposing God's mercy and grace too. He said to the woman, "Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Don't you just think that woman broke? Tears would have flooded from her eyes for the mercy that had been extended to her. Someone who had no hope now found hope in the grace of God's Word and in His kindness. And folks, we need to remember that it is there, and people need to hear about God's grace and His kindness. But also the obligations that come with that when you are the recipient of God's grace. He said, "Go and sin no more." And folks, we find that, I believe, earlier in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. We find explanations that help us when we are living this life and dealing with other people, be they contentious people, be they people that are eager to hear God's Word, or when we are struggling. It should be reassuring to us in faith. And here in the beginning of this, starting in John 3:17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." You see, there's hope there. There's encouragement for the sinner, just like that woman found. "He who believes on Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And you see, folks, here is a clear distinction. Maybe I repeat it too much, but I ask the question, are you thankful for the faith that God gave you, that ability to believe? Because Jesus is making a very stark distinction here. Those who believed are not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because they have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And I think you could ascribe this to the Pharisees. Jesus Christ is coming into the world, but they're confronting Him. You see, they love their position of privilege that they have with the Roman government and the authority that they have over the people and the hierarchy status that they enjoy. And that's more important to them than God's own Word. You see how easy it is to be diverted by the things of this life. The Pharisees didn't love God. They loved their positions. And Jesus confronted them over it. And we'll see that in a moment. But for the believer, The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, light exposes that. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, light reveals our motivations and the things that we do out of our love for God. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "Let your light shine so others may see it." And what? Glorify God. Our works need to be done in God. And folks, when we are living and following that light of the world, our motivations will be to do those things, what Jesus has commanded us. And again, following back up on what has been a burden on my heart, what are we teaching to other people about Jesus Christ, about who He is? Now let's go back to our main text. Because I believe what the synopsis that we just read in John 3 about what demarks the believer and the non-believer and their conduct in this world and God's grace to the believer to forgive, we have no condemnation because we believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pick this up again back over in chapter 8. Jesus said to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees said, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father sent me bears witness of me." There again, that statement, "I and my Father am one." And Jesus is telling this to the crowd and the Pharisees. Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know me neither nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. I hope what we just read over in John 3:16 about how light exposes the deeds of the evil people. And the worldly people gravitate, they shun the light and they flee from it. But those who love the light go towards it. Then Jesus said to them again, starting in verse 21, now we don't know exactly how long of a lapse this was. But he was still in the temple. It could have been a few minutes. It could have been an hour. I don't know. But he's still in the temple and he's teaching. Then said Jesus to them again, "I am going away and you will seek me and will die in your sins." Again, what we read back in John chapter 3. The condemnation. Because they did not recognize the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. "Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And Jesus said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And folks, if there are two types of people in this world, there are God's children and there are those who are not God's children. We need to pray for everybody because we don't always know. Just like the telling the difference between the wheat and the tares, sometimes it's difficult. We don't always know. Somebody may not be living a godly life, but it doesn't mean that they cannot hear God's word and change. All we got to do is think of the illustrations and the history that Brother Mark has been sharing us with people that wrote these magnificent hymns. Life is changed when God's Word is preached and when it's taught. So I want to ask again, what are you attempting to teach to other people about Jesus Christ? He commanded us to do so. What are you teaching? Things we need to remember. And I suggest that you do teach, and there are others, but off the very basics, are you teaching that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God? Others may try to tell you different, but there are no others. It's only Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. I am. Jesus and the Father are one. We need to teach that. And we need to teach that that wonderful faith that God has given to you is a gift from above. And through that faith that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And there is no other way. Only is through Jesus Christ. And also with that faith that Christ has given us, we can follow Him. And folks, that's important. That we can follow Him. We can follow Jesus. What does the statement say that Jesus made? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, our life is a journey. Who are we following? Are we following after that light? I want you to think about it this way. I want to share a little story with you. Because, you know, following is not always easy. Especially with our own human nature. The world distracts us and we want to go off on a tangent and follow something else for a while. And not follow Jesus as the way we should. How many of you teachers are given, say homework? Okay, you need to practice this. But the student, average student, or at least I say the average boy student, they don't go home and do their homework most of the time. There's just something different about boys and girls. Girls are rule followers. Most of them go home and do their homework. Boys struggle. We don't always do what we're told. So is that true in life for all of us? We don't always do what we're told. And life sometimes can get the better of us. Now I want to share a story. A woman was leaving to go out of town. She's going to be gone for several days. And so as she was preparing to leave, she made her final walk through the house. She set the thermostat up and she, you know, checked to make sure all the appliances were off, all the doors were locked. She watered all the plants and she pulled the blinds and she did everything she was supposed to do to get the house ready for her to be gone for a week or so. And so she left. Well, she came as she was gone, and it was the next day or so, it just popped in her mind. She realized that she had left a small fan on, and she had failed to turn it off. And she thought, well, there's nothing I can do about it now. So she just tried her best to put it out of the back of her mind. Well, when she got home, everything seemed to be just fine. But then she noticed a small plant that she had. And evidently, that fan had been blowing on it because the plant was just all bent over. And she said, you know, that just seems to be just like life. It blows on us constantly, and sometimes if we give way and we get all bent over from the constant stress of life. And that's what she was thinking, but the more she looked, she realized the plant wasn't bent over from the stress from that wind. No, the plant was bent over because it was searching for the light through the blind. Plants are said to be positively phototropic. They are drawn to the light. And so are God's children. We are drawn to the light. You see, the same way that the light is essential for a plant, it's essential for us. We need the spiritual light to have spiritual life. And the believer, somehow, some way, will always search for spiritual things. For fellowship, for time to have prayer. Search for ways to grow closer to the light of life, to Jesus Christ. In spite of our hardships, it's in us, and we will gravitate towards that light through some way. through some prayer of thankfulness, through some sigh of relief and saying, oh, thank you, God, in some way to worship Him, we will search for that light. The unbeliever will always do the opposite. Just like we read in John, in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. They don't like the light because it exposes their evil deeds. They will do the opposite, and they will tend towards the world because evil hates the light. And I believe that's what Jesus was continuing or was having to contend with the Pharisees. Well, those people that were always obstructing Him. But there is no obstruction that can overcome God. Nor should there be any obstructions that can overcome our faith. We need to cling to the faith that God has given it to us because He's given it to us for a reason. To believe in Him. To believe every word that is written in our Bible. To search for the light that we glean from reading His Word and from worshiping together. And to go and teach others. Because there are others, as we said last week, that are hunger and thirsting after God's Word, and they're just not hearing it, but you may be the instrument that God uses to present that Word to them. So I want to ask you again, what are you teaching about Jesus Christ? I hope and pray that you are in your efforts to teach, and number one, you're making that effort, that you're giving testimony, and when you do, that you, through that, you are giving hope and encouragement. Just like that woman found. Just like we all need. Because, folks, none of us are perfect. We all need God's Word to lift us up higher, to turn us from going one way and turn towards Him. So, I hope you are teaching the following. Because this is what we need to be teaching. We need to teach that to follow Jesus, we have to take up our cross and follow Him. And along the way, there will be times when we stumble and when we fall. But we are not condemned when we stumble and fall. That's not where the condemnation comes from. We must teach that we are not judged by our failures in life, but by our faith. And for all who turn to Jesus, there is grace and sweet, amazing forgiveness of sins that is found in the arms of our Savior. You see, we are judged by our faith, not by our failures. And we need to remember that. And in our opening statement, we were talking about putting on loving kindness and being patient with one another and praying for one another. We need to do that, folks, because we all have our failures. We all have our imperfections. But we all have faith. And God judges us by our faith. We need to teach that. And we need to teach the following. Because Jesus promised it. And, you know, it's like when Jesus sent out the 70. There are some that met those who wouldn't invite them in and wanted nothing to do with them. Jesus said, shake off the dust. Leave them behind and go on. We will encounter people like that too. But it doesn't mean that we keep trying. It doesn't mean that we throttle our testimony and we don't share our faith publicly because Jesus has commanded us to. And we have this promise. And we think about those that we don't know if they're believers or not. Just like that plant wants to bend towards the light. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You see, there again is that forgiveness and mercy. God's mercy is new each and every day. And there's forgiveness for all who need it. He might use you to give that revelation to a person who has no hope, who thinks, I can't be forgiven. God's grace is greater than all of our sins. And He says specifically in Isaiah, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and no one can say to me, what doest thou? It's not for us, folks, to decide who is the recipient of God's grace. It is up to us to share God's grace with a broken world that needs to hear it. So what are we teaching? I pray that we are teaching that we must always remember this ourselves. that God loves His children. And because of the great love that He has for us, we are promised salvation not by our works. We don't miss the mark by our failures. No, but by our faith in Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, again, it goes back to that grace that God has in giving us the faith to believe. It should give us hope. And we need to be teaching that hope, to believe in Jesus Christ. Because, folks, there is no other name under heaven that is given where we can find salvation. To some people, that is hard doctrine. You may know people like that. Maybe you've heard it said, "Oh, you can't say that." Well, that's what God's Word says. And you see, you and I make a choice, and especially whoever stands in this pulpit. Are we going to be more concerned about offending somebody or speaking and stating the truth of what God's Word says? The condemnation has come into the world for all those who do not believe in the only begotten Son of God. But for all those who believe, there is no condemnation. Folks, if you follow Jesus, if you have that faith to believe in Him, and I believe everybody here does, be obedient to Him and follow the commandments that He gave to go and teach all that I have commanded you. If you love the Lord and you want to go and teach, you have the blessing of this church to do so. Go out and don't be hindered. Share your faith with other people. You don't need approval by me or by anybody. It is required of you to go and teach. I pray that the Lord will lead you to do so. It is in His name I ask that for all of us here. May we all grow in spirit and in truth and share our testimonies with others. Brother Mark.